Cloudcast Media.
Welcome to Your Next Mission Podcast with the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley. Proudly presented by Cavalry Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans.
Good day out there, veterans and families, and welcome to Season 2 of Your Next Mission Podcast, a program initiative of the American Freedom Foundation. I'm Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, and your host. I always love saying that. I always get pumped up about saying Sergeant Major. We have a great show for today. In fact, we have a wonderful show. We're going to talk about something I certainly enjoy talking about, and that's transitioning. Now, before we get started, though, I want to thank our presenting sponsors, Cavalry Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans, for making Your Next Mission happen. They love our veterans and families, and as always, I love them too. Today, we're going to focus on transitioning, and that's something that's near and dear to everybody's heart. And I'm excited to introduce Michael. He told me, he corrected me a minute ago, not Michael, but it's Mike. Mike Quinn, CEO of Higher Military in Tennova, LLC, two times LinkedIn top voice and Sergeant Major of United States Army, retired, Mike, our Sergeant Major, either one. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, SMA. And I go by Michael to people that I don't really know, but when someone's a friend or you're talking to the SMA, I mean, Mike will work and Sergeant Major as well. So thank you so much for having me.
Well, I tell you what, we're going to talk about it a minute ago, just the culture, getting out and having that change and stuff. It's really sort of something. I know the audience is, they're eager to hear about all the stuff that that you're going to talk about. But tell us a little bit about yourself and tell us a little bit about hiring military and the vast knowledge that you're sharing really with the people that are transitioning out of the military. I mean, this is, it's a great subject to talk about and it's something that everybody needs.
Yeah. No, thanks, SMA. I guess it goes back to, when I was still in the Army, all of this started. And I was at 23 years. I was the G3 Sergeant Major for Intelligence Security Command. Loved every minute of being a Sergeant Major. Was planning on doing an extra 30, going up to 30, 32 years if I was lucky.
Me too. Just to let you know, anybody that quits at 23 or 26, I call them a quitter, but go ahead.
Well, I mean, so I was planning on doing 30. I mean, I loved every minute about being a Sergeant Major.
Yeah.
And they gave me the list of assignments and said, you get first choice. And so I brought that list excitedly home to my former spouse and said, hey, we get first choice. And she goes, yeah, I'm not moving.
Yeah.
And we had two small kids. She finally had a great job. She was 8 minutes from her mother. And she was like, we moved 7 times in the last 9 years. I can't keep doing this.
Yeah.
And so I had to make a choice. Was I going to be a geographic bachelor for the next, 8-9 years? Or was I going to get out right now, when I was marketable in the DC area? And so I thought TSSCI clearance, Sergeant Major at INSCOM, all these big numbers on my bullets, Intel guy, that companies are gonna be lining up to throw six-figure jobs at me. That thing that we all hear, oh, they'll throw six-figure jobs at you because you were this rank. And I went to my first job fair doing everything they teach at TAP. And I spent 6 hours talking to 41 employers. Like literally every employer, and I did research, elevator pitch, best suit, resumes, business cards. And I watched them circle my clearance, throw it on a pile and say, check online and apply to anything you like. And so I walked in there with all this confidence and I walked out like I got punched in the gut.
Yeah.
Because what I found is that nobody was hiring a sergeant major.
Mm-hmm.
They were hiring somebody to do a job in the private sector. And so when I went over my Sergeant Major spiel, like, oh, I lead the operations for 17,000 people in 45 countries, that didn't align to any jobs in that job fair. And as I watched everyone around me getting interviews, I realized something had to change. And I remember the second from the last recruiter I spoke to, as I was nagging this dude for follow-up information. Like, how do I follow up? How do I follow up? He goes, connect with me on LinkedIn. And so the next day I did. And it just opened the world to me because I realized that I could connect with veterans out in industry or supporters out in industry and learn more about different jobs, more about different companies, career fields. I could build the relationships so that people could open doors for me. I could learn how to speak their language more effectively. And probably the most important part is I could start to brand myself as something more than a sergeant major. Mm-hmm. And that's not a negative to being a sergeant major. It's about building a reputation outside of the military bubble where people know you for something.
Yeah. Yeah.
That reputation matters. And so I dove in. 1 year, 1 month before I got out, I started as a director of workforce management for a small federal IT company, about 500 people. And I got that job because I was introduced to the CEO from a CEO of a smaller company I met on LinkedIn. And I went in for a coffee and he said, I need your leadership. I'm going to create a role for you. Do you want to come work with me? And yeah. So he created this role and I did it and I loved it. But about 8 months in, I outgrew it. They couldn't make the changes I knew had to be made. My experience kind of caught up and I realized I had too much more. I had more experience that was able to really effectively impact this organization to grow. And I started my network again. And 4 months later, so about the 1 year mark, I started at Ernst & Young, one of the most prestigious consulting firms in the world, as a senior manager, as an executive. Where I worked directly with Dan Allen, the former vice chief of staff of the Army, which was incredible for me seeing him in corduroys, a sweater, making his own copies.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's the kind of leader he is. Yeah. And that's why he's successful there.
Yeah.
But I had the recruiters tell me I would have never gotten into EY. So mostly Ivy League grads, you know, consulting experience, all these like really refined. And in walks this retired sergeant major. It's a little bit blunt. You know, I have a BS in liberal arts, sergeant major experience, intel experience, but I didn't look like an EY senior manager on paper. Like my resume did not look like any of their consultants. And they told me the only reason I got in there was because partners told them to hire me. And I got introduced to partners by a mentor, a friend and mentor I met on LinkedIn. That literally just did an email intro.
Yeah.
I went and talked to that partner, coffee for 30 minutes. She walked me down to another partner, 45 minutes with her. 3 days later, it was the final on-site interview.
You know, it's really funny. As you're talking, I'm thinking to myself, I didn't do it the way you did it, I guess, a little bit differently. A guy hired me right out of the military, paid me more money than ever made in my life, but I didn't do anything. And it was just using my network and I understand other stuff. And so when I sort of got away from that and I started doing the consulting work, I didn't know how much to ask people to pay me.
Yep.
I was a little confused about, we may want to talk about that later, but
yeah.
I was a little confused about what to pay me. And then I started picking up little consulting contracts and I went from 1 to 8. Mm-hmm. I had 8 contracts. I was working all the time. I mean, never had a break. So a friend of mine said, Ruben Espinosa, I don't know if you know Ruben or not, but Ruben said, hey, look, if you give me half the company, we'll cut down on the amount of people and, you know, we'll charge a little more money to do it. And we did it. It all worked out good. So it's there's a lot of networking, but networking and understanding what the capabilities are of a senior non-commissioned officer in the Army. And, you know, if you look at the force, 86% of the force or 82 to 86% of the force, something like that, is enlisted. And years ago, when I came in the Army, the education level was a lot lower. Well, now, you know, most sergeant majors, most senior NCOs have bachelor's and master's and doctor's degrees. So that thing about education and stuff is sort of off the mat now. I think it's
right. You
know, and now I think in the business world, we talked about that in a little while. I think in the business world, most people understand exactly what guys like me and you bring to the table. And so I'm excited about that. Hey, Tom, you got a lot of passion about this job. There's no question about that. So I guess it's the passion that you have and it's something you want to do. Is that what led you in, you know, beyond your transition part of it? I mean, you know, getting into that stuff. Yeah.
I mean, I think this goes back to the core of being a sergeant major is you have been there and done that throughout your entire career.
Yeah.
You've made the mistakes.
Yeah.
You've learned from the mistakes and you don't want people to make the same mistakes or you want to make it easier for them. So I started doing this transition, and it was the hardest year of my life. And what I found was that the transition resources that were being mandated were not enough. Mm-hmm. Like it was, that was to get everyone to the lowest common denominator, like basic transition skills. And I needed more, and I didn't want to go in at the lowest level. I didn't want to start over. I'm in the DC area. My retirement didn't cover my mortgage.
Yeah.
And so I really needed to dial in. And so I found LinkedIn. And at the time, there were really only two other service members that were really active on LinkedIn. One was Justin Pearson out at AFMA. And another is a Coast Guard officer, Travis Collier, who's still in. But I saw LinkedIn as this tool to build these relationships, become known for something. And it changed my life. So those opportunities came from relationships. My company now, Hire Military, you know, that was started to fill gaps and, you know, to make the transition better for other people. And it's become successful for two reasons. One is the trust, the relationships and trust we've built at scale. And two, much like you, I partnered with someone that has a much better understanding of the business side of it and was able to know what you're not good at.
That's right.
And surround yourself with people that are good at that stuff.
Yeah.
And constantly learn better. So, you know, that is how it all came together. So I'm so passionate about this, and I'm still my job. I'm not a LinkedIn coach. I don't get paid to teach people LinkedIn. I'm doing it because it's our community, and I don't want people to struggle. I want them to know that they have the tools, if they choose to use them, to build a network that will support their transition and help them find their success, whatever that success is.
Yeah.
Whether it's business, consulting, starting their own business, whatever. So that's where it all kind of comes from.
Well, you know, it's really, it's you got to find where your niche is. You know, it could be basket weaving or something. I don't, you know, yeah. Whatever you want to do, but you got to find your niche. And I think it takes a little while to figure that process out. That's why it's so important. Again, we're going to talk about it in a few minutes here about, when should you start that process.
Yep.
The other thing is it's just, did you have a mentor? Do you have somebody that sort of coached and teach you a little bit before you got out of the service?
For my transition?
Yeah. For your transition.
Oh my God. I had 10, 15, 20 people. I had a core group of five, like executives out in industry in different roles.
Now, these are people that were military or non-military?
No, a mix.
Oh, that's good.
So I realized that if I only talked to veterans, they had that, what's that ethical lens training where I would say things to them that they would understand and translate automatically.
Yeah.
But when I would say the same, like I was at a battalion and my civilian mentors would go, what is a battalion?
Yeah.
Right. And no, a veteran wouldn't ask that question.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I made sure to have a good mix of, civilian, non-military experience, non-veteran people and veterans, because there's value on both sides of those relationships. But I had a core group of 5 to 6 people that I met through LinkedIn, talked to them, and they became active mentors for me. And then I had 10, 15, 20, 30 other people that I could reach out to at any time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Built through engagement and relationships.
Yeah. I had some retirees that I reached out. Somebody already went down the street. And so mm-hmm. I think I had 3 to 4 and depending on what, and I'd sort of bounce it off, you know, 2 or 3 of each time I wanted to do something. But having a mentor is important because it really, I mean, you think about it. One is how much do you want to charge how much do you think you're worth? That's another question. You know, just knowing how much you're worth in the civilian market. Was that a challenge for you too? Just knowing what your worth was?
It was. I went into it. So a couple different things. I went into it really from a salary perspective. I went into it early to understand what I was worth, what the going rates are for the jobs that I was interested in. So I did a lot of research before I'd get into these salary negotiation periods to know that I was in the right range. And then from a speaking engagement, consulting engagement, all that, I had to learn how to do all of that.
Yeah.
I mean, the hardest part was learning to ask that companies don't value what they don't pay for.
Yeah.
You know, if you volunteer to go speak at a company and you say, if they ask you to come out and you say, yeah, I'll do it, you do it for free, you might get some people there. If they pay you 10, 15, 20 grand, you better believe everybody's going to be there for that speaking engagement. Am I right?
Absolutely.
So like, they'll be like, I paid all this money and nobody showed up. What the heck? So,
well, I'm laughing because that's exactly the way I did it. Somebody says, here's the way I do it. You know, for a military organization, I do it for nothing. You know, that's just the way. But for civilian, you know, it's a business. I'm going to charge you some money to do that stuff. And it's, you know, you can't. I remember I went and talked to somebody up in Chicago. And I talked about a bunch of stuff, military stuff. Got a stand up. Everybody liked the presentation, all that stuff, and it went away. And behind me was I won't tell you the guy's name, but it was a 4-star general that was in the Army. And he got up, spoke, same thing, got a stand up page. Everybody liked his presentation. Well, the only difference was he got like $40,000 and I did it for nothing. And I thought to myself, something's wrong with it. Now, I don't want to gouge anybody, but you got to make it level. And you have this, you know, 86% of the forces listed, the majority of people that you're talking to about the military, you really talk about a listed force. So,
and actually, SMA, you know, technically, you're not supposed to give the government anything for free.
No, absolutely not.
You're supposed to charge, and it's not coming out of their pocket. So I charge units now.
Yeah.
And I work with them on the price, but they just, GPC card, they literally just, here you go.
Yeah.
And that, you know, because I don't want them to do DTS. I let them do DTS for my travel.
Yeah.
And it was like an 18-hour flight to get to California. I'm like, I'm not doing that.
Well, I don't blame you. Well, the thing I do is I charge expenses normally, but after that, I don't. I probably should start charging a little bit more.
You probably should. They don't mind. That money's there. I hate to say it. The money's there.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm happy to talk with you out face over what I charge, but I've never had any problems with the government, with government agencies paying for that.
Yeah.
Like they say free. And I said, well, hey, you know, can you, you know, cover this? And I'm like, oh yeah, that's well, we're giving the other person that asked this much. And I'm like, so, you know.
Yeah. It's really funny. Yeah. It's really funny because when I came into the service and I tell those people all the time that I was probably the best kid in the world when I came in the Army. The Army changed my life and it saved my life. Mm-hmm. And so when I got out of the service, I didn't apply for disability. I didn't do none of that stuff. But it didn't take me long to figure out, hey, wait a minute, that's sort of a foolish thing to do, for disability, do all this stuff. So you're really right. I mean, again, that's part of culture. You have to change it. You have to – just the way you're thinking. In fact, when I was talking to General Funk yesterday, I was saying, you know, really the military has to change that the way they think about transitioning out of the military and the process they have. I always thought we should implement something into our educational process at a very young age that talks about getting out of the service, how you need to prepare yourself a lot earlier than we do now. So, hey, we know that when someone transitioned from the military, there's a tremendous sense of loss. We've been talking about that, you know, for the last couple of minutes here. For me, it was a culture shock. And talk about, you know, social and psychological impact of transition. You know, it really had an impact on my life. You want to talk about that for a few minutes, sir?
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing most people aren't ready for is the fact that day you're out, no one from your unit is calling to check up on you.
Yeah.
Unless you owed them something you didn't do and they want to know where it is.
Well, if it's in your money, you're going to get it.
Well, the money, they hold your paycheck.
Well, they already got it. Yeah, that's right.
And they hold that last check to make sure you don't owe them anything. they don't tell you about that in transition very often either.
No.
But, you know, the unit is not going to call you to check up on you.
No.
And I've talked to commanders and sergeants majors about calendarizing checkup meetings, like 1 month, 2 months, 3 months on their former soldiers.
Yeah.
So that you just call and just check in on them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, no one checks up on you. So the moment you're out, you've lost the community that's been the prominent part of your life for X number of years.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so suddenly you're lost. And then you've also lost your identity. Like, you're not Sergeant Major anymore. You're Mike.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really hits people really, really hard. And I am thankful for me that I started my transition as early as possible. And I mean, like, I started it about a year out. I wish I would have started it 2 to 3 years out.
I always tell people, I think you ought to start at least 2 years out. Go ahead.
Yep. So, but I was planning on doing more, so I wasn't ready. Life changes. But I focused on building this network of people outside the military.
Mm-hmm.
So I had my community, you know, and over the last several years, my community has continued to grow in the veteran space, service members, veterans, military spouses, you know, people that I can reach out to and have conversations with, people that care about me. Mm-hmm. And so I'm blessed that I've been able to build this community via social media that is almost to the level of support I had in the Army. But I see a lot of other people don't. And then they go home. And if home isn't near a military base, not only do they not have the same support system, not only is nobody calling the checkup on them, not only are they up, not at formation at 6:30 in the morning for PT anymore, a lot of them don't have an identity from a professional sense.
Yeah.
Right? So they don't know what they're going to do. Like something like 80% get out without a job. So they don't know what they're going to do. So they no longer have an identity or a relationship. And I think that that is a big challenge. And I honestly think, I think that's why we need to put more emphasis in the transition than the last, you know, 1 year. And the biggest thing that I would encourage the services to do is to really look at the military life cycle transition model that technically everyone's supposed to be doing, mm-hmm. meaning PME or critical points between throughout your career, you get a small transition block. And so if you had a small block of here's a resume, here's LinkedIn, here's finding your passion, here's interviews, here's networking, here's salary negotiation. If you have that little blocks throughout your career, not only are you more professional when you need it, but by then the sergeants, majors, the first sergeants have had all of that. And they can, then you start creating mentors.
Yeah.
You start creating people in the service that can at least point you to resources and give you advice based on all the classes that they've had over time.
Yeah. I think one of the problems you have, though, is, and I think back of myself, I was so focused on the Army. I'm sure you mm-hmm. were the same way. I was so focused on what I was doing in the military that everything else was a distraction. And I almost didn't think that it was ever going to come to an end. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, I just kept even a week before I really left the Pentagon, they had me back in the Pentagon working. And so mm-hmm. I'm not sure what I thought was going to happen. I guess something was just going to pop up for me. And I really didn't know what I was going to do. But it was a little bit tough for me. I don't. As I think about it, I'm not sure I ever really transitioned. You know what I mean? I've tried to move on into the civilian sector and I try to do a lot of different stuff, and I guess I've transitioned okay, but I don't know if you ever take it out of you. I think it's always going to be there. There's always going to be issues that you're going to have. That's why it's important for us to always reach out to other veterans and try to help mm-hmm. them out. You know, we're going to talk about it in a minute, but you know, I was Sergeant Major Breckenridge. I don't know if you know James Breckenridge.
I do know that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's got this buddy check that he does every Sunday where people get on the phone and just talk. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so important for us to keep talking, no matter what level you work, whether or not you're a four-star general or an E5, you're mm-hmm. still all veterans and you need to help each other out. I think that's that bothers me more than anything else. You know, that we struggle when we get out, not just the active duty service member, the families too. And it's just tough. Well, you know, we're dedicating season two of Your Next Mission podcast to mental health. You know, that's just to let you know real quick. I've had a couple of friends that I served with years ago, and one guy was a senior NCO, and they both committed suicide here about 8 or 9 months ago. And it breaks my heart that we can't do more. And that's why I think the veteran community, yeah. guys like me and you, need to reach out and talk to them a lot more and see if we can do it. But you can't talk to everybody. Mm-hmm. But you can, I guess you can put messages out on LinkedIn and maybe a connection like that. And I try to do it. We try to do all we can with that. Let's talk about that, the 22-day, and how do you think transition plays a part in the problem with, you know, with veteran suicide? I mean, that's a big issue.
You know, SMA, the command team at the two-star level, so we lost the general and the command sergeant major yeah. within a year and a half period. Mm-hmm. And both of it was around the transition. One was before he was going to be transitioning and one was after he transitioned. And so, you know, it really hits home because I knew both of them well and I respected them both. And I know that they loved soldiers. But I believe they carried a lot of those soldier hardships inside. And a big part of, well, you know this, as the SMA, how many friends did you really have? You know, how many people could you really confide in? You know, you're on an island.
Yeah.
And so, you know, so there's that part of it. Now let's talk about the transition. So your life is military for 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, 25 years, whatever. Your life is the military. You have a steady paycheck, you know, three hots and a cot, you know, you're taken care of. You don't have to worry about anything. You have your identity with whatever rank or position you are, and you've worked hard to get there. And suddenly, and you have your community. And then suddenly, one day, just one day, you're in, and the next day you're out. Mm-hmm. You no longer have that identity. You no longer have that community. You no longer have that paycheck. And suddenly you're out there, really on an island. And you, if you do not retain your community, if you haven't put in the work to build a network, I mean, in a lot of ways, it can feel like there's no way out.
Yeah.
You know, you end up in a dead end job. Maybe you take whatever job you can get and it's way below what you think you should be getting. But once you take a certain job, like, that's your professional identity. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to hear the sergeants majors and the first sergeants back in the day saying, I'm going to be a greeter at Walmart. Well, and you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, and, you know, I'll be exactly good. And I'm like, great. But 2 years after you get out of the Army and you've been a greeter at Walmart, you're no longer a sergeant major. You're a greeter at Walmart.
Yeah.
Like, that's your new professional identity. And so people end up in this kind of, I truly believe they end up in this downward spiral that ends in suicide. And so the way we fix that is we teach them to build their community that will sustain them beyond transition, mm-hmm, before they get out.
Yeah.
You know, I've had hardships since I've gotten out, and some of my people I've been connected with have reached out and said, hey, Mike, I noticed a change in your posts. Do you want to talk? Or they've called me to check in on me. Mm-hmm. And I can't say enough how incredibly valuable that was. And so I really want, what my passion is, and I teach every general that gets out, every admiral, so Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine, Coast Guard, Space Force, in their transition courses. I teach the one-star courses, Charm School, SLDS, whatever you want to call it, for the Army, Navy, Marine Corps. And, you know, I teach these webinars to get back into our community to understand that you can start building your community now, so that when you get out, you never feel like you're alone.
Yeah.
That there are people that you can reach out and talk to. And like you said, those conversations change your life.
Well, you know, and you really said it well, but it's all about people. It's all about the people. You know, in my military career and your military career, we've touched a lot of different people. And what really makes me feel good is I still, and again, I'm sure you do too, I still get emails from people and ask me, hey, do you mind if you talk down, sit down? And I get people that check on me every once in a while too, which makes you feel good. But yeah, it's a struggle. But you said you're on an island no matter where you're at. I'm real open with myself. I'm open about talking to you. And I don't, you know, if I got something to say, I'm going to say it. And I'm not shy about saying it. But I really talk to my wife a lot. I talk to people around me a lot. In fact, one of the guys that worked with me in the Pentagon, Sergeant Major Johnny Myers, lives around a block from me. And we talk and we talk. And I got all the guys, I have a small company too, but all the guys in the company are all retired sergeant majors. So we all, mm-hmm, talk. So that's, you know, it's a real good network for me. And then of course we do the podcast and other, mm-hmm, stuff that keeps me pretty active. But I think the key to success, though, when you do get out, is don't sit on your butt. You know, get up, move around, start doing stuff. You have a lot of stuff that you can do, and don't cut yourself short. The people that go and sit home and want to go to Walmart, mm-hmm, they have so much to offer. In fact, one of the things I sent to, was talking about yesterday with General Funk, is I said, and Sergeant Major Henry, because I said, you know, we should do a better job about hiring people that get out of the service and put them back in those government kind of jobs, if they, in fact, they want to do it. You know, but no, yeah.
Can I throw a curveball there when we talk about hiring veterans back into these government jobs? I personally believe we need to be hiring military spouses.
Oh, absolutely. No, I agree 100%.
You know, military spouses should be the priority for any DOD roles that they would have the experience for, obviously. There's some other ones that they don't have it. But the reason being is 35% unemployment during the pandemic.
Yeah.
And it's a readiness issue. Like, I retired from the Army earlier than I wanted to because my spouse knew she wasn't going to be able to keep her job wherever we moved.
Yeah.
And so I know that there's direct hire authority with OPM for DOD, but, you know, a lot of times they don't use it. And so if I was going to say, you know, when it comes to defense jobs, you know, the government jobs, like if I had king for a day, like you make any decision, the first thing I would say is military spouse priority, like military spouse, especially overseas.
Yeah.
Where they can't get any other jobs, like, you must interview military spouses for the roles, and you must say why you're not hiring military spouses for the vast majority of these roles, because ultimately it'll make us a better force.
Yeah. No, I first of all, I wish I'd have said it first, but I didn't. You said it. but I agree 100%. I try to pay my wife back every day, I think, but I think we abuse our spouses in the military because they do so much. I always call them the unsung heroes, which is a cliche that everybody says, but it's true. They do so much for us, and we just don't pay them back. And I agree 100%. Anywhere we can use a military spouse in any kind of job. But my point was, though, is we need to do a better job of utilizing the, you know, why train me for 30 plus years and not use me? Doesn't make sense to me. Why train me for 20 years? Why train me for 10 years? There's so much to offer, because you have to continue to build that workforce within the Pentagon, within any organization. It's not about today. It's about 20, 30, 40 years down the road. Yeah. The other thing is, things change so fast. Our culture changed so fast. Our ideas change so fast. And that's why I think we get bogged down here a little bit sometimes. We don't change quick enough. I don't know. Do you ever know General Kukulo, the public affairs?
So I've talked to ACPA, the current public affairs?
No. This guy was, you know, probably 10 years ago or something.
Oh, before I would have ever known him.
Yeah. So anyway, he said something about the military. He says, you know, the military has a good idea. They think it's a good idea. It's a good idea. They talk about it. And then it's outdated, you know. So they we need to move a little bit faster with just what we're talking about with LinkedIn and technology and all the kind of equipment stuff. We're just too slow. I think we're trying to improve, but we're still too slow. We're talking with Mike Quinn, transition expert and CEO of Military Hire, and you're listening to Your Next Mission podcast with me, your host Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. And I know I'm absolutely having a great discussion, and I hope you're listening, because we need to help our veterans and families transition out of the military, because they make great employees, or they make great owners, to tell you the truth. They can do anything that you want to do, but if you hire a veteran, you'll have a better organization because of that. And don't forget, you're enjoying the discussion, and please, as always, click on that subscribe button down there below. It's all about the team. You know, it's not about the individual person. You know, it doesn't matter. Again, it doesn't matter what level you worked at. You're a veteran. You served in the military. You're a brother in arms or a sister in arms, and we're going to help you. Let me give you something, though. For the next 20 subscribers, Mike, you may want to jump on this. We have a special. You have a special Your Next Mission T-shirt. Hey, all right. So, but you got to do something. If you subscribe for one, let us know. Send us a little comment. Let us know who you are so we can send you the T-shirt. You know, we don't want to get you subscribed and don't give you anything. To continue on this discussion, think about preparation. The key to transition is, we don't do enough about preparing ourselves to get out. You know, that TAP class, you get a week. I got to tell you about the TAP class I had. I went there, spent an hour there, went back to my office in the Pentagon and told them to come to my office and brief me because we just don't do a good job at that. So tell me how do you think people ought to better prepare themselves into the civilian sector in preparation for transition?
Yeah. So one, I like to remind people that the TAP class is primarily focused on the lowest common denominator. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, like, it's focused on the 70% of the force that gets out after one enlistment, not for the rest of us, right? The vast majority of those one, you know, first term soldiers that are getting out, or service members when you talk about all the services.
Sure.
So you're never going to get everything you need in 1 week. And if you break it down even further, I know it's a little bit different now, but basically 1 day is the service stuff they want to put in. 1 day is the VA stuff. So you really get 2 to 3 days of transition related topics. And it's never going to be enough. So what I try to tell people is start yesterday. Like, you know, I'm talking to these new one stars and you know, like 70% of them are going to be out after that first, you know, 3 years as a general officer. And I'm like, you need to start now building your network, figuring out what you want to do. And while you're doing it, you could still positively represent your organizations, positively brand the Army. One of the great examples is Milford Beagle, the commanding general for 10th Mountain Division. He is every day he grabs a photo, a smiling photo with soldiers up in Fort Drum. And if I didn't know better about Fort Drum, I would want to go there.
Yeah.
Like he makes me want to be a part of 10th Mountain Division. He makes me want to go to Watertown and go, like he called PT with the snowshoes and the skis. Like, we're going skiing this morning. Lots of fun. And I'm like, no. I see what you're doing. But the thing is he's in front of people.
Yeah.
Smiling. They know what he's about. They know his soldiers like him. You know, they know he values his team. And so whenever he gets out, he's going to be fine. The same thing with Lieutenant General Leslie Smith, who's now at USAA, but was the former Inspector General. Every day you saw a smiling photo of him with soldiers. And I'm like, wait a minute. I never liked talking to the IG. Like, if the IG ever said they were coming, you weren't seeing a smile on my face.
Yeah, I try to be somewhere else.
Right? So, you know, like, but every day for the better part of 3-4 years, I saw him smiling, talking about the great things they're doing, accomplishments, positive change. And he really did the same thing that the, you know, the CG for the 10th Mountain Division is doing right now. And so when I talk to soldiers, I like to remind them that they can take time and start to build their network. They can talk to people. They can figure out what they want to do and find the right mentors in that field early. And it's a lot easier to build a network and find mentors when you don't need something, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you wait until you're 3 months out, you need a job, all of your engagement is kind of influenced by that transactional nature of the like, I need a job. Do you have a job for me? Can you get me a job? Like, that's in there in that conversation. But if you can't start for a year, it's just a conversation. You're just getting some mentorship. And most veterans are willing to do that.
Yeah.
And so that's how I would say, if we're going to fix it, we got to get people to truly start thinking about it early.
Yeah.
And then the other thing I would say for our community, for, you know, the E9 community, across any of the services, is that we run from anything money related, unless it's a UFR. So unless it's like, how do we spend, like, and I want to buy something, I'll go to that meeting. But for everything else, when it comes to POMs, when it comes to contracts, source selection boards, when it comes to budgets or, you know, resource management meetings, I got to go take care of soldiers. And ultimately what that does is it never forces us to make business decisions based on the cost of resources.
Yeah.
As a sergeant major, we have unlimited resources. We can work you all day, every day, right? For the most part, if we need to get something done, we can go get other people and there's never a cost. But when we get out, we've got to learn to factor the cost, like the actual cost of the decisions we make.
Yeah.
And if we want to be an executive in consulting world or the private sector, we've got to understand revenue generation. We've got to understand contracts. We've got to understand budgets and how to plan it, you know, and so negotiations, you know, cost benefit analysis, you know, the hardest thing was me figuring out, why is everyone saying we need a business case? And now it's all the time. What's the business case? Like, how much is it going to cost and what are we going to get off of it? You know, and we don't learn that as E9s. And I would say Sergeant Major, I don't typically call E9, but CMCs, chief master sergeants, master gunnery sergeants, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and so every time I talk to someone in our community, that's the number one thing I say is go sit in those meetings. No one's going to kick you out. And if your boss is going to go talk to, contractors, sit in those meetings too. Cause I'll tell you what, those generals have their buddies coming in all the time.
Sure they do.
And so if you go sit in there, they're not going to tell them you can't come. Most of them want to mentor you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Soapbox.
No. But you bring up a lot of really valuable points. And as you're talking, I'm thinking about, I've always been probably cheap, but I've always been pretty thrifty with my money because I grew up as a poor kid. The last room I had for coming out in the military, I tell people all the time, is I lived in a laundry room for about 2.5 years. My parents didn't have, my mother didn't have any money. I didn't even have no lunch money when I went to school or nothing. Mm-hmm. So we struggled a lot when I was a kid. So I've always been really concerned about how much does it cost, and I do that in my business too. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to pay for this, how much do I have? What's the profit margin? Is it going to be worth it? I want to know all the details before I do that. So I like doing that. But you're really right. I think the thing about it, if you don't know anything about it, you're really hesitant to get involved with it. But you got to get involved. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is, you're right on target. When do you start now? I think that's a perfect thing to say. But you got to start sometime. Because when you do get out, nobody's going to be holding your hand. You're all by yourself, and I don't want to see people struggle. Again, that's what bothered me about suicide, because people get out and they don't know who to turn to. And you've did the same thing. I've helped a lot of people find jobs and work, and just about every day. If you're a soldier, I don't care if I ever met you before. If I can help you, I'm going to help you. So, most of the current American population, has never served in the military.
Right.
And they don't know anything and don't understand or fully appreciate what the military service is doing. In transition, how do we help those civilian employers? In fact, I have a briefing that I give civilian employers about why hire a veteran. Why do you think that's so important, especially when I'm sergeant major? Because I know they really contribute a lot to the workforce if we can get them in there working. So you want to, talk about that?
From a sergeant major perspective?
Yeah.
I think the first part I have to say is that rank doesn't translate.
No.
I have a lot of senior military leaders reach out to me and say, how do I translate this rank, whether it's colonel, Navy captain, sergeant major, whatever, how do I translate this to a resume to get me a job? And I say, and I have to go back to them and say, what job? And they're like, leader. That job doesn't exist. So,
and how much is it worth? No, go.
I want to get six figures to be in charge. And I'm like, in charge of what?
Yeah.
You can't just come in and just be in charge with no experience.
Yeah.
You'll get voted off the island. It's like Survivor, and I've seen it happen. So, the first thing I tell people is you've really got to figure out what you want to do.
Yeah.
And it's not the obligatory project manager, operations, and it's not talent management, because there are not that many talent management roles, and most of those have to understand the HR aspects of everything, right? They've got industry experience. They understand all this stuff. So the first thing I tell people is that there are thousands of companies you've never heard of, thousands of roles you've never heard of, and you really don't know what those jobs are, like what they do every day. So I try to get service members, particularly senior leaders, to reach out and do informational interviews, to have conversations. I teach them how to find out anybody they want on LinkedIn. You can go to any company and find veterans in any role and just reach out and say, hey, I need some help. So I teach them how to do that. And I tell them to really focus on having conversations with people in jobs or industries that interest them. So say you want to be the project manager, which is PMI did the best marketing thing I've ever heard in my life, where every soldier says, I'm a project manager. I said, okay, if you want to be a project manager, if you think you're a project manager, what I'd like you to do is talk to 5 project managers.
Yeah.
And I want you to talk to them and say, hey, what do you do? What's your day like? How many meetings? Are you on or off site? Is there travel? What do you like about your job? What do you not like about your job? What does success look like? What does failure look like? You know, what are your biggest challenges? How do you think I fit as I currently am, since you know veterans? You know, am I a great fit for that role now, or do I have to fill some gaps? And I tell people to have these conversations, because what you're going to find is maybe you don't want to do that job, or maybe you really do. And then you have 5+ mentors that can open doors for you, or you figure out what your gaps are and you can start to fill them. And so I tell people, you do this for every job that interests you. And what happens is ultimately you start to narrow down what you want to do. You build a network in that field. So once you found what you want to do, you do more. And every conversation, you learn what's important to hiring officials in that field.
Yeah.
You learn the right terminology and you start sounding like a project manager, an operations manager, whatever it is, HR. And so when we, once we figured out what we do and we know what's important to them, then it's very, very easy to go back into our background and find examples of when we did that. Because as senior leaders, we've done HR, we've done operations, we've done logistics, we've done training, we've done project or program management, leader development. You know, you could go down the list, security, like all these things are in our backgrounds. We're generalists in every role. And so I tell people, once you've figured out what you want to do and what they prioritize, what they look for people in this role, the resume is the easiest thing in the world. Because the skills exist, likely exist in your background. And if you have gaps and you know what they are, you go fill them.
Yeah.
That's simple. You go get a cert, you go take a college class, you know, you go volunteer to work with somebody, you know, whatever it is. And so I think that's the biggest part about the transition. It's the biggest part for sergeants major, because nobody knows what a sergeant major is. Like if you haven't served, you've got no idea. We're not COOs. I mean, I wrote an article about that 5 years ago that went really big. But I have to say that was a literary piece. That's how I explain our role in the military, because we have the industry experience. We have the process knowledge, the relationships to make it happen. But when we leave, we don't understand P&L, you know, for the most part. We don't understand budgeting. We don't have industry relationships. And so we can get to a COO level, but we've got to get those foundational experiences that will make us successful at that level. And you know as well as I do, you know, when you have a business and you're responsible for X number of livelihoods, you can't afford to not know the money.
Yeah. Yeah, you're exactly right. Yeah. You got, I don't know. I needed a pen to write down. You have some great comments. One is, you said about, we said a minute ago about how much you're worth. Sometimes you got to take less money to get your foot in the door, to prove your capabilities. The other thing I think it's important, and you said this too, is look around and see what organizations already have veterans that are working in those organizations that you can either talk to, or at least you can have the right kind of dialogue and they understand what your capabilities are. And I can't remember, there's one more point I wanted to bring up, but golly, that's, you said a lot of, you've been saying a lot of great stuff, but it's about communicating with the veteran community and really plan it far enough out so you can get in there along with the spouses. Let's take a quick break. We're having a great discussion with Sergeant Major Mike Quick. Or Quinn.
Quinn. You Mike got me confused with Matt Quick.
Matt Quick, yeah. I'm sorry. And we're having a great discussion with Mike. And we're having a great discussion with Mike. And we need to continue. We're talking about how do we help our veterans you know, get out of the service. And this is such a big topic, and it's, you know, suicide prevention, all that stuff. We gotta help each other. We gotta help each other be successful. And that's really what it's all about. We're all part of a family, and we're gonna do what's right for our community. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back. You're watching Your Next Mission Podcast.
You're watching Your Next Mission, proudly presented by the Cavalry Agency. They help brands dominate no matter their size. Ideas, strategy, action. This is Cavalry. Learn more at cavalry.com. Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Purdue Global, providing affordable online education for hardworking adults.
Learn more about a personalized, innovative, and world-class education at purdueglobal.edu. Veterans United Home Loans, the number one VA lender for five straight years. If you're buying, they're funding your dreams. Learn more at veteransunited.com. Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. I'm the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley, and we've been blessed to be here today with Mike Quinn, CEO of Higher Military, Tenanova, LLC, two times, I'm going to make sure I get this right now, two times LinkedIn top voice of the Sergeant Major of the United States Army retired. And he's just a wonderful guy, and we're having a great discussion. And I want our listeners to reach out to me directly. Tell us about your transition. You know, we help each other by communicating. So let me hear about it. Tell us what topics you'd like me to cover on this podcast, because we want to cover the things that you need. You can call me or text me at 844-424-1134, and I'll actually reach back out to you. And, you know, you may not like me calling, but I'll call you any doggone way. Or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. Mike, we're heading into our final segment with you today, and I hope you've enjoyed this discussion just as much as I have. And I just bless you for what you're doing. You're a wonderful person. You're a wonderful soldier, and I'm sure you're a wonderful father and all those great stuff. But you're also taking care of veterans in the community, and I thank you for what you're doing. But really, I just have a couple more questions. I want to follow up what we were just talking about a minute ago. You want to follow up what we were talking about, you know, with pricing and stuff. You wanted to bring up another comment about that. Go ahead and jump on that right now.
No, thanks, SMA. I really appreciate it. So you made a comment about taking a little less money.
Yeah.
And I kind of extrapolate from that the idea of taking a step back. And you see a lot of people in service saying, I understand I may need to take a step back. And what I have to remind people is that rank doesn't translate.
Yeah.
It's not taking a step back. It's stepping onto that new ladder at the correct rung.
Mm-hmm.
It's finding the right start point for your next commute, for your next career, so you can be successful. And the money will come with that. But I have to tell people, I have seen people make what they would perceive to be lateral transitions. You know, they come in at executive level roles at named companies because they know people. And I've watched them burn, like flame out because they did not have the experience, the business acumen, or the industry relationships to really hit the ground running. And you've got to understand that there is a number on your head. Like, you are there to provide value. And there's only a certain amount of time that company is going to continue to provide your salary and not get value equal to what you cost them.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you start talking about the right level to join an organization, is if you join one step too high, you can very quickly be branded as a struggling employee. Ah, this person's not going to cut it. One level below that, what I would say would be the right level, allows you to bring all your experience together at the level where you can learn the culture, learn the relationship, learn the industry, and you are a high riser, you know, future managing director.
Yeah.
Like, just literally one level difference. And so, you know, I talk about, you know, great examples, Edison Reebok. You know, XO to SMA Daily is a manager at EY on this project, and he's killing it.
Yeah.
And I talked to his leadership, like, he's going to be an MD someday, like, not a medical doctor, a managing director, mm-hmm. which in the Big Four is huge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Had he come in as a senior manager, he might have had, you know, like X million of dollars revenue. He's responsible for year one.
Yeah.
And if you don't know how to do that, you're going to fail.
Yeah.
It's 9 times out of 10.
Yeah. It's really all about the money. You're really right. If you're not making the money or producing the money, they don't want you there. And once you start falling, you're going to take a big drop, you know, and you sort of get tarnished a little bit. So I agree 100%. Starting down here, as she was talking, I was thinking about crawl, walk, run, you know, mm-hmm. talking about just take it easy, but but fit in with somebody that you know you're going to be successful with. So that's great advice. But most of the guys that I talk that are senior NCOs that really get out and accept the fact that that they got to sort of work at a little lower level and sort of show what their capabilities are. I told all the guys I've worked with, I mean, once you prove yourself, people are, you just sort of grow and people have come to you. You know, for the last, I don't know, probably, let's say 10 or 12 years, I haven't looked for work, but work's come to me.
Yeah.
You know, so you know, I guess I must be doing something right.
But yes.
Maybe. But it's good because people will come to me and they say, hey, do you mind? And I never say no. I always say yes, because I want to do it. I want to help people. And I think that's the key, too, I know it's the key, is having a positive attitude, staying focused, and don't get bogged down on baloney. You know, a lot of people want to pull you down a little bit. Stand up, keep your shoulders straight, and remember the things the military taught you to do, and that's be successful. So, you know, in the civilian world, job security is not guaranteed career progression, and much more flexible, and the doors open because you have a. You know who you're talking to. How is networking important? You talked about that before, but I know as a small business owner, it's really important about networking with a lot of different people. Could you talk about that a minute?
Yeah. I mean, so there's two ways I'll talk about this. So one, there is no time and service, time and grade requirement for promotion in the private sector.
Yeah.
So you could be there in 6 months, you outgrow that role and they're like, we're going to promote you to this because you're a rock star.
Yeah.
Like that happens, right? But those promotion decisions are typically made by a group of people in a room.
Yeah.
And they're like, who, same as it is in the military in a lot of ways, but it's like, who knows this person, right? And so they're making decisions. You have sponsors in that room that are saying this person is great. And so networking within your company is incredibly important for promotion potential, because if you're just the person that shows up and does their job every day quietly, the quiet professional, you're going to be doing that job for a long time.
Yeah.
So networking is important for that. Now, the other side of this is in 2020, about mid-2020, when the pandemic really hit, 20 million people were unemployed overnight.
Mm-hmm.
Entire industry shut down. People that were in stable industries, we all thought, you know, what, airlines, hotels, like things that were never going to go away, and they all shut down. And the ones that had networks got jobs. The ones that didn't were one of the hundreds or thousand candidates applying for a role.
Yeah.
And, you know, every hiring decision you made, like when you talk about hiring, the first thing we all say is, who do you know? Right. And so for the big companies, they have referral processes. If an employee puts somebody in for a referral, not only do they get a bonus if they get hired, but the companies usually are required. There's a policy for a recruiter to at least give you feedback. So they at least get to the top of the list for a look.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we talk about, you know, the importance of networking, whether it's you deciding to activate your network, whether it's you, you know, because you want to change, whether it's you being networked within your company, you know, so that you can get promotions, or whether it's you networking because you just got let go, that network is the key to getting your foot in the door to whatever career you want. And I added that last part because a lot of people don't realize that the vast majority of employment out here is at-will employment.
Yeah.
The company can decide to just let you go and you could decide to just leave at any time. And so the company, maybe they don't hit their goals. Maybe they're restructuring. Maybe there's an industry change. Maybe they got bought by a venture capital firm that's going to cut them down a little bit to make them more profitable so they can sell them. But for whatever reason, one day you can come in and the company could say, hey, look, we don't have a job for you anymore. And so what I tell people is the worst time to network is when you need to network.
Yeah, yeah.
And so if you just build it in your battle rhythm to do something to stay in touch with people every day, 5 minutes, 10 minutes a day, It's like putting an investment, right, into your social collateral, right? Your social bank account. These people that know you, care about you, you haven't disappeared. They see a post, they see a comment, you have a phone call or message, whatever. You're still in their lives so that when you need something, you could take a withdrawal. You can reach out and people will be willing to help because you're not that person that disappeared for 5 years and is back only because they need something. So that's why it's so important.
Yeah, I think the other thing when you get out of the military, you got to strike while your iron's hot. You know, don't sit around, wait a year or so and then think I'm going to lose a job. The other thing is that in my company, my little small company, when I want to hire somebody, I ask the guys in the company, okay, who do we want to hire? Because I want them to say, hey, I give my stamp of approval for this guy right here. Two things are going to happen. One is they're going to make sure that guy works his butt off, right? Because they don't want to look bad about it. So I think doing that, I've only ever messed up once. And it wasn't, it's because I really, quite frankly, one of the guys at the company told me I need to be concerned about something. I said, no, I don't. I think this guy's all right. And I made the bad decision.
Yeah.
Of course, I never did go back and tell the guy he was right, but no, I didn't. So you got to listen to your company, but I think talking within your organization is good. Mm-hmm. What about the National Guard? How does higher military help the National Guard in transitioning?
So we work with any service member. So, we're partnered with about 150 companies right now. And these companies are coming to us because they want to hire veterans or military spouses.
Yeah.
Now, what's unique about us is we don't just do direct placement or temp to perm. Like, we don't do your typical staffing. We also do DoD skill bridge. So, you know, companies can get their own DoD skill bridge MOU and bring on interns. And I don't know if everybody here understands, the DoD skill bridge program allows service members in their last 180 days to do internships, apprenticeships, OJT, job shadowing with companies full time.
That's a great project, too. I think that's a wonderful idea. Yeah.
It's the most impactful transition program out there because you can realistically go for 3 to 4 months full time with a company. The company doesn't pay salary. They're not allowed to pay you because you're still getting the military pay and benefits. Right. And so, you know, we help service members do that, find their opportunities. We also do direct placement. We also do temp to perm for service members, veterans, and military spouses. But I think the thing that really sets us apart is we engage on social media, just not just me, all my recruiters, my social media team, Olivia, you know, Lucy, mostly military spouses because they're rock stars and they can operate in gray space. Yeah, but, you know, we're active in the community. We're talking to service members, veterans. They're helping them update their resume if they need to. We're connecting them to resources, other nonprofits. And we're just, I think, like, I have one foot still in the military community through my engagement, my classes, my work with the generals, someday with the sergeants majors, if they'll have me.
You're not working with sergeant majors?
No.
Well, that's foolish.
They don't do it. The only ones, the first sergeant major class I've been to since Davenport retired from TRADOC, I did one class at the Sergeant Major Academy with a standing ovation. I did one instructor, had me talk to one pod while I was out there after that. And then no other sergeant major training except for Brian Flom invited me to NLC 2 weeks ago because I was coming out there. I talked to the non-leader course for an hour.
Yeah.
I don't teach any E9s. I'll say Master Gunnery Sergeant Scott Stalker of Space Command invited me out to talk to his E9s, like to come out and talk to them. But at a PME standpoint, like, I teach all the generals. I don't teach any of the E9s.
Well, they have the transition workshops for the sergeant majors now up in D.C., right? Don't they have that?
No, they moved them out to Leavenworth.
Oh, they're at Leavenworth, and they don't reach. Hey, if I can ever.
I volunteered.
Yeah, you've contacted them and said.
I stopped contacting about 2 years ago because I got such pushback from the E9 community.
Maybe we can talk offline about that.
But yeah.
If I can help you, let me know. I don't know what I did. Yeah.
I mean, a lot of it comes down to the fact that we're stubborn.
Yeah.
And we know everything there is to be known about our fields. So we are the true subject matter experts. And it's, I think it's hard for us to accept that we're not when we get out. And then the other part goes back to the business case. You know, a lot of sergeants majors don't know how to talk to contractors.
Yeah.
So the default is, no, I don't want to talk to your contractor. And I was taught that in my last job in the Army. The civilian said, hey, if anyone calls you and you don't know them, ask for a contract. They say, yes, direct them to this person.
Mm.
And now looking back, the colonel was taking all those calls. The general was taking all those calls. And no one taught me, instead of saying, don't take the calls, how about you teach me how to take the calls?
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm with you 100%. I think it's foolish for us to not, that's a perfect example of not helping ourselves. And golly, like I said, if I can help you in any way, you got my number, you got my contact information, just let me know. The other thing I'd tell you too, before we sort of wrap it up here in a minute, is that we probably had to have you on the show, maybe not this year, maybe next year on season three or something like that, because I think we need to, you got a lot of great information that we need to share with our E9 community. So again, I'm on your corner, I'm in your corner, so let me know how I can help. Hey, what's the website? How can our viewers get in contact with you?
So the best way is hiremilitary.us.
Yeah.
So that's our website. I would say follow us on Hire Military. Our largest group is on LinkedIn, but we also have a Hire Military page on Facebook and Instagram. But I think that's a little younger than me. I'm not that good at those. I get LinkedIn.
Yeah.
So my team does the Facebook and Instagram. And they can connect with me on LinkedIn. So you can just search for Michael Quinn. I'll be one of the top ones. I spend a lot of time on LinkedIn. And follow me or, you know, reach out with some questions. I put out a post every day about the transition, about some thought, some concept, a video. You know, I'm every day I make it a point to share something that can make somebody's life better. And then the last part I'll say is I do monthly webinars with the USO. So the USO handles all the logistics. They set up the Zoom session, they host it. And I just come in and talk for 2 hours and I teach, you know, soup to nuts. Here's how you leverage LinkedIn to find your next career, build a network, you know, expand your influence. And so I post those on LinkedIn, or you can go talk to your USO Pathfinder team and they'll get you signed up for them. I do them every month.
Mm.
So, and it's been game changers. Right. You know, it's been, for me, it's a great way to stay engaged with our community.
Yeah. God bless you for what you're doing, but I appreciate it. Any final thoughts, anything you want to bring up or share with the audience?
Well, I want to say, I realized we got on the E9 bandwagon there where I kind of said, you know, this is the trouble I've had. And I don't want people to think that it's anything bad about E9s, SAR majors, CMCs, Chief Master Sergeants, Master Gunnery Sergeants, whatever. You know, we've got an incredible group of senior non-commissioned officers, senior leaders that have so much to offer to industry. You can't replicate that experience when you talk about, you know, being down from the tactical to the strategic level every day. I want to say that we provide incredible value to organizations. The one thing that I challenge our community to do is to understand that all that experience in the military doesn't translate. And that if we just put a little bit of time and effort into identifying our gaps and then filling them, that we can do whatever we want when we get out. You want to be an executive in one of the biggest consulting world firms in the world? Learn how to win contracts.
Yeah.
Understand the contracting process. Understand who the primes are, who the contracting officers are, what an RFP, RFI, LPTA, all the stuff that meet. If you learn how to do that, you've got the relationships to rock it. If you want to go into tech, you know, understand and learn tech ahead of time. If you want to start a business, you know, build the relationships, find the mentors, you know, like, so the sky is truly the limit and they're doing great things every day. All of our senior military are. I just want to tell people that if we start investing a little earlier in our transition, figuring out what we want to do and identifying what's required to get there, then the things that made us so successful in the military will make us successful there. We just have to accept that it's not a direct transition. You're not going from commander to CEO unless you start your own company.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going from sergeant major to COO. There's a a path that gets you there if you want it. We just need people to invest, and you're not doing your service a disservice by investing in your next career early. If you do it right, like Milford Beagle's doing, like Leslie Smith did, Scott Stalker, you know, Rodney Graves. If you do it right, you are positively branding your service, yeah, your organizations. You're communicating with your service members, and you're actually changing their lives as well, because you show them what right looks like. And I guess the last thing I'll say is that everything we see on the news about veterans is for the most part negative. You know, it's the you know, they start thinking we all have PTSD. They start thinking that, you know, that one guy that shot someone 27 years ago, you know, that was a veteran 27 years ago, it's veteran shot somebody. You know, it's, you know, drug and alcohol problems, the 22, like all these things. The problems in the military, the stuff at Fort Hood, you know, the stuff that they're seeing is such a small part of our military community. And we've got to counter that. We've got to show all the good things that being a service member, a veteran is, a military spouse. And the only way we counter that is by getting people to share what they love about the military or being a veteran. And the more people to share it, the more people see it, the more we start to feel positive. We can change impression of what it means to be in the military. And that will help recruiting. That will help funding. That will help your organizations. You know, you could make 10th Mountain Division an assignment of choice somehow, you know, but we maybe just got to get more people sharing it. Yeah. So that would be my final thought.
Yeah. Well, look, for the audience that's listening today, let me tell you something. Here's a guy that if you can't feel his passion, his love, not only for his military, but also for his country, and all he wants to do is help people. That's the bottom line. He's a true American hero, as far as I'm concerned, that wants to do the best for the people that serve and really risk their lives for, you know, to protect our country. And I always say that, you know, the people that join the military, they raise their right hand and they say they're willing to die for our freedoms. Here's a guy that's doesn't want to die for your freedoms, but certainly wants to help you out to be successful. So, you know, thanks, Sergeant Major Mike Quinn. I'm going to make sure I get that right. Golly, it's been so much fun talking to you. And I certainly appreciate all that you're doing. And again, you got a friend in me, no question about that. If I can ever help you, please let me know. I'm Jack Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. You've been listening to Your Next Mission podcast. And man, if you hadn't got something out of this, you probably got one foot in a grave or something. Something's wrong here. So thank you for listening today. It's really been a great discussion. Please visit us on our website at yournextmission.org. And leave me a review. If it's a good review, I'll take it. If it's a bad one, I'll take that too. I'm not real thin-skinned anyway. Don't forget, I want to help you, or we want to help you. Please leave me a message or send me a text at 844-424-1134, and I'll send you send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org, and I'll actually either email you back or call you back. Or you can visit our partners there who can provide you with so many services that will assist you in your transition from the military. It's all about helping each other out. That's what we want to do. Also, visit our corporate partners. See all the jobs that we have available for you. We have jobs that will help you out in that transition process. Again, it's the little steps that we do to help each other. We got to help each other. You can't sit back and complain. We all have positive attitudes, and we want to get the best out of, or have the best for all of us. So don't forget about helping each other. Please don't, I really want to assist you any way I can. I mean, I just don't say that to be saying that. I want to help you each and every day of my life. In fact, I tell people all the time, I'm going to do what I'm doing till the day I die. And I think most people, just like Mike's, going to do the same thing. He wants to help. That's all it is. It's not, you know, you got to make money to live. I understand that, but it's about helping each other out. I never thought I'd ever say this, but please visit me on all my social media channels, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. Hey, I'm an old guy. LinkedIn. I'm even on LinkedIn there. So, you know, and again, if you've enjoyed this discussion with Mike, please click on that subscribe button. It's all about the team. It's all about pulling together and helping each other out. So Thanks again to Mike Quinn for being with us today. It was great having you on the show. I thank you for what you're doing and what you're doing to help our families and our military veterans. I want to leave you with three things to remember. We're dedicating season two to your next mission to all those family members who struggle with mental illness, which so often leads to somebody taking their own life. And I told you at the beginning of the show, when I was talking to Mike about my two friends that committed suicide, you know, a couple of months apart, but it was my friends. And I often think about the fact that, you know, could I have did anything to help them? Could I did anything to maybe make their life better? And that's what we want to do. Guys like Mike and me, all we want to do is make your life better. But we can't do it if you don't reach out to us. We can't do it if you sit back and don't say anything. So if you reach out to me, I'll call you back and I'll talk to you. Second, I'm proud of serving in service. Now, Mike's not going to wear his hat, but I'm going to wear my hat. Every Friday, put on your hat. Show your colors. Be proud of your service. Be proud of what you did for this country. Again, you're willing to give up your life in the defense of our country. So show people who you are. And if you was in the military, show that service. You know, Army, Air Force, Navy, Marine Corps, and even that Space Force. And I want to encourage everyone else listening out, reach out to your neighbor. You know, I always talk about lead by example. You know, show people you care. You know, offer a smile. Offer them a helping hand. Together, let's try to, you know, bridge that divide that really has affected so many of us in this country lately. Again, thanks for listening. I've had a great time today. And thanks to, well, not just me, but thanks to Mike for being on the show. But we've had a great time today just talking to you guys. But remember, you're not by yourself. Thanks to Cloudcast Media and, of course, our presenting sponsors, Cavalry Agency, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue University Global, and Veterans United Home Loans. Again, they love our veterans and families, and we appreciate all they do for our military. So, as always, see you on the high ground. Hooah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.
Cloudcast Media.